Hey, it's 5:32 downtown home stretch on your Thursday. Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning with you. Maine Black Bears play game number two this Saturday, their first ever appearance at the Glass Bowl as they take on the Rockets of Toledo. And to learn more about Maine's next opponent, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by the voice of Toledo football, Brent Balbonat. Brent, thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, it was a pretty impressive opening performance for Toledo last week against a very good Arkansas State team, and on both sides of the football, Rockets were sure firing on all cylinders.
Look, to be honest with you, and this is not me poor boying it, nobody saw that coming. There was supposed to be basically two road graders of offensive and defensive lines. Everybody was expecting somebody to neutralize, at least to a certain degree, the opposition's strength. And while we didn't expect a shootout, we didn't expect it to be basically so lopsided. It was just something that when we left, and it was planes, trains, and automobiles, guys. It was about a two-hour flight into Memphis and then a 90-minute bus ride to Jonesboro, because Jonesboro doesn't have a large enough airport to handle a 737. So there was some concern on UT's coaches' parts that the guys might be in a little bit of a haze. Didn't end up being the case. They were ready to go.
Well, I've been on trips like that. I know what those are like. Let's talk first about the defense, because that was an incredibly impressive performance, holding Arkansas State to just 266 yards, and especially impressed with their work on third down when they only converted 3 out of 16.
Well, I'm part of that, and don't forget, too, when I was going back and doing kind of rewinding for our coach's show earlier this week, 83 of those 266 yards came on one pass completion late in the fourth quarter when they took a deep shot. The game had already been decided by that point. But as you mentioned, it's one thing to hold your big playmakers in check. It's another thing to do it down after down after down. And there was a lot of question marks over this defensive line. The entire unit last year had graduated 7 starters, but 3 of them were on the D-line. And I think what really happened was, the old phrase is, what, untested doesn't mean untalented. Mm. Well, we found out just how talented the defensive line was for UT last weekend. Normally your interior guys are supposed to soak up blockers, keep the linebackers clean, let them leverage the ball. They were making plays in that ball game. 4 sacks against an offense that runs primarily out of the pistol. They would have been happy just to get 4 hurries in that ball game. That defensive line made a statement.
Well, and I look at the work from this sophomore out of Richmond, Texas. 8 tackles, 3 for a loss, and a sack. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try cold. I have not looked at the pronunciation guide, so I'm counting on you to steer me right. Let me see if I can do it here. Olusun Kami Adeniyi.
You're close.
Okay, all right.
Kind of like my last name, I'll answer to anything. and if this helps you at all, Rich, just call him Ola.
I
asked him, you know, normally you don't give yourself a nickname, but when you're 6'2 and 252 pounds, I said, how do you want to be called? And he said, the coaches just call me Ola, and it's Adeniyi. So kind of think of a long A in the middle, but you're very close.
All right, that's pretty good. Well, he had an impressive performance last week and is going to cause some problems, I'm sure, for Maine's fairly young and somewhat untested offensive line.
Well, and I would say look to his left at tackle there as well, Trayvon Hester. And he's got probably one of the best nicknames I've ever heard, the Big Handsome. We joked with him because he hit a guy so hard late in the fourth quarter, his helmet came off. And I said, you just wanted to go ahead and keep up your moniker. And he just smiled at me. He doesn't just play the game physically at 6'3", 300 pounds. He's violent. I mean, he uses his hands. Every snap of the football is like a street fight. And I would say basically that side of the offensive line is probably going to need to double-team him.
We're talking with the voice of Toledo football, Brent Balbonat, and we had Phil Steele on College Football Insider earlier today, and he was raving about the work of your offense, in particular a couple of those running backs, Kareem Hunt and Damian Jones-Moore.
Well, and I would say they had basically enough touches to go around that 3 running backs saw relatively equal time in that ball game, but you're not going to get anybody to say a negative thing about any of them. They're all great. It's kind of a healthy rivalry. They're all friends. But what Kareem Hunt has done over the course of his career here, going into his junior year, is nothing short of spectacular. He missed 2 games last year, or he would have been probably pushing 1,300 to 1,400 yards on the ground. On his first carry, He moved into third place all time on UT's career rushing list, and he's chasing the likes of Washon Tate and Chester Taylor, who had a pretty good career, still has actually, in the NFL. At 6'2", 225, he's the guy that if he gets into the second level, he's just going to run through you. Incredibly physical. Terry Swanson, Damian Jones Moore, the other back that you mentioned, those guys are quick. They're kind of scatter type backs. And not to say that they aren't strong, but I've watched those guys in practice. If you pad up and you don't hit them low and keep your head up, they'll spin out of your pads. So depending on the down, the distance, the situation, Butch Candle has basically three very different styles of running backs that he can put in the backfield at any given time.
A terrific debut game last week for the season for Logan Woodside. 74% completion, 371 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions on the day. What style of quarterback is Woodside?
Good. you know, it was funny because I was looking at your quarterback, and they're very much aware of Dan Collins. 58% completion rate is still pretty good, guys. 74% is just unheard of. It doesn't happen. And he'll be the first to tip his cap to the offensive line. They kept him clean all game long. He was hurried once, and it was partly because of his fault. He stepped outside the pocket. But he's got four great receivers that he can throw to. He completed passes to seven different guys in that ball game, but he doesn't panic. He goes through his route tree very quickly, and his pre-snap read is fantastic. He's just smart.
Well, and looking at this offensive line, too, that's got to help and make you feel pretty confident. My rudimentary math skills tell me your O-line averages 6'5 and about 305.5 pounds.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's not
bad. Storm Norton at left tackle, they thoroughly anticipate he's going to be playing on Sundays. At 6'8", 306, you know, there's a reason why left tackles make the most money as far as offensive linemen go. And Woodside, to kind of backpedal a little bit, remember this guy, he didn't take a single snap last year. 2 years ago, he came in because Phil Lilly got injured and helped lead UT to an 8-win season. Last year, Ely was back, and they would have used him, you know, if it would have called for it. You know, a twisted ankle here, a bad shot there. Fortunately for UT, he didn't. So Woodside was redshirted. He has to run the scout team in practice because he didn't think the game speed was enough for him to stay sharp. He is such a humble kid. So to basically do that, to bite the bullet and say, I'll run scout team because I don't think practices are moving fast enough, he really credited that with helping him hit the ground running here. And then not the least of which you mentioned, the offensive line, they're just beasts. The only newcomer is Bryce Harris at center. The rest of them are very, very well experienced. This is a very good group.
And it looks like a pretty solid special teams unit, too.
Yes. Jamison Vest, I watched him, and to be honest with you, I'm still not sure how he missed that 37-yarder on his first attempt. He was just kind of scratching his head. He's got kind of that sunshine look from We Are the Titans. He's got that long, flowing blonde hair. But I've seen him, and they ran their two-minute offense quite a bit last week preparing for Arkansas State, thinking that it might come down to that. He's got good range. I've watched him hit between 55 to 57 yards with consistency in practice. With that said, they have Samuel Vucelic right now putting the foot into it when they tee it up because he's just got a little bit more hang time on the ball. But between those two, and the punter, Nick Ellis, who's averaging 47 yards a punt, he put Arkansas State three times back inside their own 20 and had a long of 51. The special teams, I think, were probably an overlooked part of last weekend's win.
We got a couple of coaches making their debut as head men, and Joe Harris-Simiak here at Maine and Jason Candle at Toledo. What type of guy is Coach Candle, and what does he bring to the table in terms of the way he approaches the game?
He's so low-key. I just did a pregame interview with him a couple of hours ago, and I'm kind of feeling him out being the new guy myself here. So low-key. And yet at the same time, when he steps in between those lines, he is lathered up. Driven would be the word that really comes to mind. I've seen guys who have been ambitious. I've seen guys who will stop at a certain level because it's just too much work or they don't want to put enough into it. Not Coach Candle. Absolutely driven. Every step from the minute he gets up to of the time he goes to bed has a purpose, not a wasted minute in the day. And his guys respond to that. They would run through a brick wall for him.
When teams in the FCS level play these step-up games against FBS opponents, I think one of the things fans often look at is the schedule and say, well, maybe they'll look by Maine this week with Fresno State on the horizon. I always think that that's pretty overrated. And I think, am I wrong, that especially with a young coach, focus is pretty much on the task at hand?
No, you're absolutely right, Rich. And we talked about this during our coaches show earlier this week. Look, I'm very much familiar with your conference, the likes of Adley at JMU, some of the teams that Delaware has produced over the last several years. And, you know, we made a certain point of that. All you have to do is look at the opening weekend in college football, not that far removed, less than 7 days. Go ask Iowa State what they think of Northern Iowa. Mm. Go ask Virginia what they think of Richmond. I know they're no longer FCS, but Appalachian State probably not only could have, should have won at, what, ninth-ranked Tennessee?
Right.
I guarantee you, Maine is not going to be overlooked by UT this weekend.
Well, Brent, we're looking forward to our first ever trip to the Glass Bowl. It's going to be a lot of fun. Saturday night, 7 o'clock kickoff. We appreciate you making time for us to let us get a little more insight into the Rockets, and we'll see you on Saturday.
My pleasure. Look forward to it.
That's Brent Balbino, the voice of the Rockets of the University of Toledo.